Good morning, everyone. I'd like to thank everyone for coming out to this presentation, and I'm not going to waste any time. I'm just going to get right into it. The Clean Water Act dictates that states are required to report on the quality of their waterways every 2 years. Within the guidelines of biological integrity, they are to develop biological criteria for their monitoring programs. And quite often, macroinvertebrates are used as those tools for biological criteria establishment. Well, why use macroinvertebrates? Well, they're ubiquitous, as everyone knows. It's a very diverse group of organisms, and there's an acceptable working knowledge of their taxonomy. Their sedentary nature allows them to be exposed to a range of conditions, and therefore they give an indication of the habitat quality over a period of time. And there are established assessment tools already available for analysis. With this in mind, the temperate region is a dynamic system. Streams experience a wide range of temperature variation within a single year, and also current velocity increases and decreases to some extreme levels within a single year. Also, as the seasons change, resources are partitioned. In December or in the winter, it's generally cold. There's moderate current velocity, and you can see that water is stored in the forms of snow and ice, which when the temperatures increase in the spring, that melts, coupled with increased precipitation. The base flow capacity of the stream increases, thus the habitat of the stream actually increases, and you start to see mixing of terrestrial nutrients into the system. Later in spring and summer, leaves come out on the trees, lowering the water table, decreasing the habitat of the macroinvertebrates themselves. However, the increased temperatures at this time, coupled with more daylight hours, increases algal and other primary producers, which is a nutrient source for macroinvertebrates. In the autumn, the leaves start to fall off the trees. The leaves themselves act as a substrate for biofilms to accumulate, and thereby being another food source for macroinvertebrates to utilize. Also to consider, macroinvertebrates themselves have short life cycles, and oftentimes their life cycles are dictated by temperature changes. There are temperature thresholds that will initiate adult tissue maturation, or to cue individuals to become adults and leave the system. Therefore, measurements taken at different points in time may reflect different community measures, which might interpret biological assessment in different ways. So the objective of this study was to temporally profile a community over a single year and identify ecological measures in the industry we call measures such as richness and diversity as metrics. So to identify these metrics that are least variable over that annual continuum and to see if they're predictable with multiple regressions. I also wanted to construct a multivariate model to biologically delineate seasons. This project took place in the Burris Fork, which is a reference condition stream in central Missouri within the inner Ozark border subsection. Macroinvertebrates were sampled with a D-frame kick net from riffles about once a month for an entire year. This period of time I refer to as the MDP, or the model development period, from which multiple regression models and the multivariate model was constructed. During a second year, samples were taken from three test dates for validation of the models. Now, a suite of environmental variables were collected, and I just want to point out the importance of some that were found to be most useful were temporally based environmental variables, in particular cumulative degree days or cumulative precipitation in a 14-day period of time or a 7-day period of time just prior to a sample taking place tended to be some of the more useful variables in the model construction. 120 metrics, or those ecological measurements, were calculated, and I selected those metrics that were least variable and representing a different type of an ecological measure, such as total taxa richness. Stepwise multiple regression was used with the environmental factors to explain the variation in those metric values over the model development period. Then I plotted the observed metric values with the expected metric values derived from the multiple regression, and I compared the mean squared error of the model to the mean squared prediction error of the test dates. The multivariate model is fairly simple, although it does involve a lot of steps. I just want to concentrate on the three main steps. The first step involves taking the macroinvertebrate data, the taxonomic data, and performing cluster analysis to delineate different seasons. Those seasonal groupings are then combined with environmental data to find discriminant functions to explain those seasons. Those discriminant functions can then be used to find the probability of any test date belonging to those delineated seasons. Those probabilities for a particular test date can then be multiplied by the taxonomic frequency for those seasons, or conversely, we could look at the mean relative abundances for each of those seasons multiplied by the probability of a test site belonging to those. So with that data, we can use the frequency data to compare the observed taxonomic richness at a test site with the expected taxonomic frequency from the model, or conversely, we can find the mean relative abundances as a way of comparing to the observed abundances with any type of a similarity index. So I just want to go through a couple of the metrics. There are quite a few of these. I just want to talk about a few of them here to show how they performed. The black boxes indicate the observed metric value. We're looking at taxonomic richness was the metric of interest here. The expected values calculated from the from the multiple regression model are shown in the clear circles. This period before the line indicates the model development period, and these are the three test sites found or taken during the second year. We can see the taxonomic richness was not too much different from what we might have expected. You got to look at the axis here, so it's not that much different for at least test date one and test date two. Test date two, on the other hand, was considerably different from what we would have expected. And I'd also like to point out this observed value was different from any of the observed taxonomic richness values observed during the model development period. This metric is the percentage mature gatherers. This is a you can think of mature gatherers as collectors in the system that are just generalists. They pretty much feed on whatever they can. They're advantageous. And we see a fairly complicated model here. And it seemed to be very dead on in prediction for the first test date. Very, very different for the second test date. And in fact, again, occurring way outside of the observed values that we saw during the model development period. And not very good for describing the third test date either. This measure is the biotic index. It is a community measure of organic pollution, as a simplest way to describe it. This was found to be really good, actually. Had a high R squared, and it was found to be very predictable. And the mean squared error of the model was not very different from the mean squared predicted error of the test dates, indicating that the model was not biased. Moving on to the multivariate analysis, there was trouble developing a really good cluster to delineate seasons until after removal of the June 30th test date, which I can get into reasons for that later. But after this, we found a long, cold winter, and then a shorter summer and shorter autumn. The discriminant functions that were created for these seasons utilized total cumulative degree days, the 14 days prior to sampling, and cumulative precipitation 7 days prior to sampling. When evaluating the test dates 1, 2, and 3, test dates 1 and 2 were found to have 100% probability of belonging to winter, which would have been expected. The autumn test date, or the test date 3, was shown to be most probable to belonging to autumn, with some slight departure towards summer. For the results, the observed taxonomic richness to the expected taxonomic frequency for test date 3 showed that it was right on the money. It was predicting from what we would have expected a winter test date to resemble. The second test date showed some departure. The similarity indices for these two test dates show that test date one was within the range of what we would expect a similarity index to show. The second test date, both similarity indices showed that the community structure was very different from what was expected. And for test date three, we saw there was a great difference from the OE model and the similarity indices that were utilizing the relative abundances. So from this, just to quickly wrap it up, these ecological measures that are used in biological monitoring programs can be highly variable within a single year. Overall, the richness measures tended to be the most consistent, and composition and functional group measures were the most subject to variability. And this makes sense because as the seasons change, resources are changing, so you figure the functional feeding groups would change, and the organisms occupying those groups would also change. The multivariate analysis of the temporal regime shows that you can biologically delineate seasons. Instead of looking at the calendar to say, okay, this is spring, this is summer, you can actually use the biota to do that. However, with this study, more accurate predictions would require more data. Overall, seasonal variation highly influences macroinvertebrate communities and deserves more respect when interpreting biological data. So I'll take questions if we have time.
So have you tried or thought of the model verification at other sites?
The question is, have I thought about verification at other sites? Yes, but probably not with this model. One of the things that I did with this model is I used whole counts of organisms, and this tended to be very painful, as I think the June 30th sample date had 14,000 individuals for sorting and identification. I think I'd have to modify the sampling protocol. So the applicability of this model is not going to be very good. It's just more of a theoretical illustration. Though I think there could be some good applications for future studies if they were to take a good look at this over a continuum sampling regime.
Great, thanks. So that concludes this session.